father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you in this beautiful, beautiful winter wonderland. Along with me is...
I'm Corey Regan, and it's good to be back here in the studio. And yes, it's cold and kind of dreary today, but we've got something here, if you're listening, that will lift you up.
It's going to warm your heart. We're going to talk about the new evangelization and continue on with that. And specifically, we're going to be talking with Randy Hain today, good friend down south, and he has a powerful book, Joyful Witness, How to Be an Extraordinary Catholic. Are you interested in being an extraordinary?
I am. I could use some help to get to the extraordinary level. I think I could use some tips. And I know he talks to real Catholics who have decided to follow God on some surprising paths.
You have to say extraordinary with a British accent if it really is going to mean something. Right. Extraordinary. Extraordinary Catholic. You know, when I went 2 years ago, I went on a year and a half ago, I guess, I went on a British tour with the Bible Timeline, went over there. And I remember talking to one of the bishops at breakfast. It was so funny. He comes downstairs with some new jam that he bought on the street. And he came in and he said, "Oh, this is absolutely extraordinary, extraordinary." And everything was extraordinary when I was over there.
Did you say, do any grape upon?
And I was brilliant. Everything I said was brilliant.
Yeah, they use that. They use that word for a lot of meetings, I think.
I came home and I told my kids that. And I told the bishop when I was over there, I said, "Bishop," I said, "respectfully, the jam is not extraordinary." I said, "The Hindenburg was extraordinary. This is good."
Yes.
And he said, "I think you're right."
Overuse.
So, but
of
we do
the
have
term.
An extraordinary show with an extraordinary Catholic, and that's Randy Hain talking about a joyful witness. And we also have with us today Patricia Treese, and she wrote a book about the joyful spirit of Padre Pio. And I know many of you love Padre Pio. He is really popular. And she's going to talk about some of the stories, letters, and prayers of Padre Pio that reflect the joy. And I know that right now, in the great Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, many of us need some joy. And we're coming up upon the season of joy.
Right. I was going to say, we should be having a lot of joy here pretty soon.
So stay tuned. We're going to talk about joy today, a joyful witness and a joyful spirit right here on the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric,
612-424-7382. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you along with Corey Regan, and we're talking about joy today on the Rediscover Hour. And I know if you're like me, you need to hear about joy, and everybody wants to walk in joy. It's a great time to be a Christian in the Twin Cities. Lots of opportunities.
There are, yeah. We have a special opportunity coming up. WINE, Catholic Women's Conference. Now, WINE stands for Women in the New Evangelization.
Very clever title.
It is very clever. A Heart Drawn by Love, Sent on Fire. And this event coming up on February 14th, it's a Saturday, is at the Church of Epiphany in Coon Rapids. And there's a great keynote speakers, Patty Schneier.
Schneier.
Yep. Nancy Jo Sullivan and our special friend, Bishop Andrew Cousins, will be there. A great day. It's from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. and includes confession, prayer teams, mass celebrated by Bishop Cousins, shopping, that's fun for women, mm-hmm. and lunch. So how do we register? Let's see.
Well, if you're interested in this, let me just say something. I'll give you the website here in just a moment, and I'll give you the phone number. You might want to write it down. I think it's going to be a great conference. It's February 14th. You know,
Valentine's Day,
and that's why I think they have the title, A Heart Drawn mm-hmm. by Love. But this is an extraordinary.
This is brilliant.
This is a brilliant, brilliant conference in that it's a cooperation between the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis and Women in the New Evangelization, which is an organization headed up by Kelly Walquist, one of our own here in the Archdiocese. And this is something that we're doing in the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis is we're partnering with Strong Ministries.
Okay.
And this is one of them, WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. They even have representatives in parishes called WINE Enthusiasts. And they are kind of reps that organize the women's groups.
Okay.
So once again, that conference is going to be February 14th. It's at the Church of the Epiphany. That's in Coon Rapids. That's Father Duffner's parish. And if you're interested, you can go to the website, www.archspm.org. The keyword is WINE. And you'll also see a banner that's moving across the top of the website. You can click on that. I'll give you the phone number, too. You might want to write this down and invite some of your friends. You know, they're only going to be able to take, I believe, about 1,000, 1,200, something like that. So first come, first serve. The number is 651-291-4411. That's 651-291-4411. And maybe, Corey, you can go and get some interviews.
I would love to go. And it's only $30 per person before January 19th. And just a great, great morning to 2 p.m. So you get lunch, and I think I might have to do that.
But that's not all, folks. The men's conference, we'll tell you more about that later. That's coming up in March.
Okay.
March 21st at the St. Thomas Anderson Fieldhouse.
Okay.
And with the theme this year for March 21st, ladies, if you want your husband to go, write this down right now. Put it on the calendar. Stick it in your Google calendar. March 21st, the theme is going to be Conquering Sin. And we're going to have more to say about that a little bit later, but we'll focus on WINE right now. Well, our guest, is Randy Hain. And Randy Hain is the author of Joyful Witness, How to Become an Extraordinary Catholic. And you're listening to the show right now, I believe, because I think the Lord wants you to be an extraordinary Catholic. And he has served on a number of nonprofit boards in the Atlanta community, senior editor for the Integrated Catholic Life website with Deacon Mike Bickerstaff, another friend of mine down in Atlanta. He's a prolific writer, frequent presenter on a number of topics, including faith, family, and Catholic, men's issues, fatherhood. He's a convert to the faith, came in.
Yeah, recent. I mean, somewhat recent, 2006.
2006?
And I am interested to hear how he went from converting in 2006 to being a Catholic author in 2014.
Sounds like you think you got a book in you.
He's gotten a lot done in the last couple years.
Let's welcome to the show Randy Hain. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Well, thank you for having me on this extraordinary show. sounds like something fun to do.
It's an extraordinary show with extraordinary
and
guests.
And we hear you're brilliant, Randy.
Well, it's good to have you. You know, the last time that you and I saw each other was down at the Eucharistic Congress in Atlanta, and I sat there in front of your table. I was going to talk to you, but you were so incredibly popular with all the people that I had to move along.
Well, I saw you out of the corner of my eye, but I had this gentleman who just really felt the need to tell me his life story, and I needed to listen, and I just was engrossed, so I apologize for that.
Well, here we meet again. You got a great book, The Joyful Witness, and I'd like to talk about joy a little bit this morning. You talk about a joyful witness. Let's talk about witnessing in general to begin with. What's the state of the Union Address for Catholics when it comes to witnessing their faith? Where are we at with that right now?
You know, I travel around the country to speak to Legatus chapters and conferences to promote my books. And, you know, I think around the country you're going to find sort of different takes on that. But one of the things that I'm consistently sharing with audiences is, you know, we all have grand ideas. We want to do big things for Christ in the church. We really want to make it an impression and do a lot. But ultimately, I think it's each of us just really recognizing that we have an opportunity to be the light of Christ to everyone we encounter each day. I think if we'd focus on just making a great impression on just one person we encounter, being that light to them, we could change the world. And I'm consistently sharing that because I think people are so outward focused that they forget that we need to work on us and be that light. I often tell people, if you want to know how you're doing in this area, just sort of ask yourself, do people feel more drawn to Christ and his church by the way they see us act and what we say? That's the convicting question that I ask myself all the time, and I fall short a lot. But
that's a great insight.
Walk in the walk.
Yes.
Well, when you mention that, you know, what comes to mind right away is if somebody followed you around for 24 hours with a notebook and pen in hand, taking note of your life, at the end of 24 hours, would they say, I'd like to be like you?
Or would they even know that you are a Catholic?
Would there
they
be
know?
Enough evidence?
Yeah, I wonder
you?
That. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, now, in your book, Joyful Witness, you're not just writing from your own experience. You're actually taking amazing people's stories and incorporating them into the book. Talk to me about that a little.
How did you find those people?
Well, I have a long background in executive recruiting and coaching. So I've been interviewing people for 25 years professionally. And when I converted to the church, I found that was a really natural thing to bring into my writing. I like to collect stories. I like to learn about people. So as I've traveled around the country and through the work I do with Integrated Catholic Life, I just keep encountering these amazing people. And I grew up in a household with two parents who worked really hard. We were, you know, about as far at the bottom of the middle class ladder as you could be. And we didn't have a lot of material things, but we had a lot of love and the things that mattered. And I just remember growing up in that household and being grateful for it. So I seek out the regular people in the Catholic world. I like to find the regular folks who just do great things, and they don't want the credit, they don't want the spotlight, they just do things, and they serve Christ in the church admirably. And I just find that there's such compelling witnesses for us today. And I've got to tell you, I think all of us would agree that it's very difficult to look at political leaders who say they're Catholic or others who stand up and they say they're one thing and do another and be inspired. But I found in these average, regular Catholic heroes great inspiration. I just wanted to share their stories, and I was blessed to find all of them. I'll tell you this, though. One of the things I loved about every person in the book, each one of them said in their own way, I'm not worthy to be in your book.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly why
that's
you need
it.
To be
that's
in
why you're in, right? And they're from all over?
Yes. Yes. Only two people are from Atlanta, but the rest of the people are from just my travels around the country. So, yeah, I think we covered a large swath of the U.S. when we did the book. But I just was grateful to get such transparency in their stories, too. They gave me an unedited version of their lives, and I think it came out in the book.
Give us an example, Randy, right, of somebody who provided a joyful witness to the point where it grabbed your attention and you thought it important enough to put into a book.
The very first chapter is probably my favorite. It's about a woman named Jean Lyons. I have a son, my 17-year-old son, who is autistic. And when we came into the Catholic Church, one of the fears that my wife and I had is how would Alex integrate into the church, you know, with his challenges? How would we, you know, acclimate him to church life and teach him about the faith? Well, there's an angel in our parish who's the special needs coordinator, excuse me, and her name is Jean Lyons. And Jean works with families who have special needs children, and she helps not only the children but the families integrate into church life. She has personally, through her ministry, helped families that had been away for years come back to the faith because she was able to help their children be successful. And she does this in a number of ways. One of the things that my son does that he loves to do is children's liturgy of the word. Jean has recruited five teenagers who have special needs to lead that ministry one Sunday at 10:45 Mass every month. So she gives them purpose and helps them understand the faith in a way that they can get it. And she's just an angel to us and so many others. In fact, she was my son's confirmation sponsor. But she's a clear example of what, you know, what a joyful witness is, and the other stories are similar but different because they do different things.
We're talking with Randy Hain. He's the author of Joyful Witness, and we're hoping that you will all, you know, start to provide a joyful witness. Randy, give us some advice here and some guidelines about witnessing to other people with joy. I think sometimes when we say, you know, you should be witnessing about your faith, people automatically jump to the conclusion that, well, I've got to give some kind of verbal...
talk about it all the time.
I've got to give some kind of verbal talk to someone.
Makes you uncomfortable, sort of.
For some people, yeah, I think it might. But certainly we are to talk about our faith, and we're to share our faith with others. But there's other ways to witness, too, right?
Absolutely. You know, certainly, and Jeff, and you and I both have a Protestant, you know, a background to some degree.
I do,
and
too, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Corey's a convert.
Yes, 2007.
Let's call this the Converts Hour.
Right. Paul is, too.
But I remember as a young man, as a Southern Baptist, just hearing consistently, you know, make sure you know that people are saved and ask them to come to church. And, you know, I think that's the Protestant tradition. And I think that Catholics, to a large degree, have a high degree of discomfort with that.
Right.
And yet we have so much to talk about. We have the beauty and truth of the faith. We have everything. We have the Eucharist. We are so blessed in what we have. So I think that getting Catholics to understand the beauty and truth of our faith, to study our faith. Now, not everyone is going to be a theologian, and that's okay, but at least understand at least the basics. But I think what's important for Catholics to recognize is be able to talk about the difference it's made in your life. Think about the joy that if you don't feel, you should feel about our faith, and just be willing to share that, maybe in a quiet moment with someone who's down, maybe someone who says they're having an awful day, maybe just tell them, hey, listen, it can be better, can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. You know, there's some easy things that we can do, but I think some people are intimidated that they will say the wrong thing, they won't know enough. It's not about knowledge, it's about how we live it. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, all of us, every one of us who's listening today can encounter one other person and be the light of Christ to them. We can through the actions, through our words, do things that will make people think, I want what that person's got. I want that in my life. So I think it's much more about acting and speaking and just doing things that we know will help us serve others and love others, and people will be drawn to us. I'm very out there with my faith. If you look at my social media, I'm all over the place, and I run a business as well. But I'll tell you, that's not why people talk to me about my faith. Mm-hmm. They come up to me sometimes, and they'll just say, listen, you seem to have happiness. You seem happy. You seem peaceful. What is the secret? What's going on with you? And it gives me a wonderful opportunity to say it's because I love Christ and His church, and I'm really blessed to have a strong Catholic faith.
And what's the response to that? Because some people are afraid, Randy, that if you say that they're going to respond with, oh, you're sort of weird, and you probably stand on street corners yelling,
preaching,
too.
Well, here's what I say to that. I spent 23 years in the spiritual wilderness with no faith. I left the Baptist Church as a 16-year-old and had no faith for over two decades. Mm-hmm. And I came into the Catholic Church as a 40-year-old man after a profound conversion, a very profound conversion. And I can tell you what my life was like when I said no to God. And it was not a great time.
Mm-hmm.
A very prideful time. I did everything that I needed to do to have secular success, but I was missing the things that mattered. Well, I've been saying yes to Christ and the church since 2005, and it's made all the difference. And my life is immeasurably better because I do say yes. And I am very proud to tell that story to anyone who wonders, you know, who you are, what you're doing. You know, are you one of those holy rollers? No, I don't walk around with a seal on my forehead, but I love my faith. I love the church, and let's talk about that.
Right. So, well, even the way you explained it right there, Randy, it's what I would call very natural. And I think that if people are going to be a witness for Jesus in conversation or what they do or how they treat somebody, the sweet spot is for you to express that faith by being yourself.
Genuinely.
Genuinely. Because mm-hmm. people, they'll smell that out, won't they? That if I'm one way most of the day, but then when I have the I'm going to be a witness face on, I'm different, people are going to, they're going to smell that out. Don't you think, Randy?
It's actions.
Absolutely.
Speaking louder.
Absolutely. It is absolutely being authentic. And I think a lot of the times, and I do encounter this a lot, people think, well, I don't know what the catechism says about that, or I can't quote the exact Bible verse that says that.
That would be me, yeah. Right.
You know, it's not important. You know, it's more important to say, you know what, the other day I was in Mass with my older son, and I saw him on his knees in fervent prayer, and I knew that at that moment, He was with Jesus. He was speaking to Jesus, and it touched me, and it really had an effect on me. Now, that actually happened the other day in Mass to me with my son Alex. So talking about personal experiences and how you've seen faith work in your life, that is that authentic witness, Jeff, that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's the natural witness. So don't try to quote somebody else. Just try to go into your own heart and just think about, would my life be worse if I didn't have Christ there, or better? And obviously the answer would be better. And talk about that. That's the natural way to extend our faith to others.
Well, I would like to extend that invitation to our listening audience right now and just kind of put that challenge out there, you know, Corey, of, mm-hmm. Today, on this day, you're going to encounter an awful lot of people. And to be conscious of the fact that you are a witness and everything you do and say is the first step. But what kind of witness are you going to be? Are you going to be a true witness, or might I say a false witness, mm-hmm. in what we say or what we laugh at and what we do? You're kind of on a stage all day with the life of Christ shining through you. So you might think right now, as you're on your way to work, or you're between appointments and you're in the car, how can you provide a witness to the people that you are around today? In your book, Randy, you talk about role models and how important role models are. Talk to us a little bit about becoming a role model and how important for Catholics today to become the role model in their atmosphere.
Well, you know, I think there are a number of ways to look at that, but I'd start, you know, as parents, we have a vocation to get our families to heaven. That's what we're called to do. We're called to, as husbands and wives, to love each other and serve each other, and we're called in our vocation area to get our families to heaven. So that right there is something that we should all focus on if we're blessed to have families, is to really work on being a good role model for our spouses, for our children, and the workplace. A lot of writing and speaking around integrating faith and work. You know, making sure that today, start today, don't think about next week, think about today. How can I act and think and speak through the filter of my Catholic faith? How do I treat my brother, my sister with love at work? How can I make decisions that are honest and ethical, that do the right things, that care for others? We have the ability to immediately, dramatically increase that Catholic experience that we carry around with us every day, if we'll just think about it more. But we don't think about it. We think we have to leave our faith at the door when we go to work. We don't think about it as part of our everyday lives. It's not just a Mass-only thing. Being Catholic's 24/7, so let's act it. Let's be authentically Catholic all the time. So
yeah.
I think role models really just come from us looking inside and saying, what can I do better today? How can I be better today? And I'm going to focus on that. And that's a good place to start.
Like Matthew Kelly says, and I try to use this on every decision, is this going to make you the best version of yourself?
Exactly.
Every decision, if you can follow that.
Being disciples of the Lord, conscious from the time you get up in the morning to the moment you go to sleep at night, you're a disciple of the Lord. You represent His worldview, His mission, and that's what our lives are all about. And Randy, I'll just leave it with this, because I think it's a great text, Galatians 2:20. You know, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and delivered Himself up for me. Mm. And let us go out today and be that joyful witness and let Christ shine through us. Randy, where do people get in touch with you?
IntegratedCatholicLife.org is probably the best place. You can reach me there. You can go to my personal website. It's randy@randyhing.com. But my books are all available on Amazon, and also every Catholic bookstore typically has at least a few of my books.
And the book is The Joyful Witness.
Thank you so much, Randy. It was a joy talking with you today.
Extraordinary. Absolutely.
You're brilliant.
Extraordinary.
Advent blessings to both of you. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. That's Randy Hain. You know, talking about being a witness, you think, well, what kind of a difference can I make in the world? There's, what is there, 8 billion people now or something like that in the world? It was only 4 billion when I was a kid, but there's about 8 billion people.
You're old now.
Yes. We'll go to a break on that. Okay, so there's about 8 billion people in the world, And there's a great story about a guy walking along a beach, and he sees all these thousands and thousands of starfish that have been beached. And he starts throwing them back into the water to save their life. And a guy walks by and says, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of these starfish. What difference is it going to make to throw a few of those back in? And the guy said, it made all the difference to the one
right,
that I just threw back in. And you're going to go by thousands of people today, but that one person that you provide a witness to, it may make just the biggest difference in the world. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back with Patricia Treese talking more about joy and Padre Pio in a moment.
Rediscover.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. At a time when most academics thought progress in civilization meant overcoming the influence of religion, the English historian Christopher Dawson dedicated his life to taking religion seriously in the study of history. A Catholic convert, he spent years in intense study and reading across cultures and across centuries. In his more than 20 books, Dawson came to articulate the essential role of religion in human culture and in the study of history. He came to the United States briefly as the first holder of the Stillman Chair in Roman Catholic Theological Studies at Harvard University. In his little book, The Historic Reality of Christian Culture, Dawson deftly lays out his vision of faith and culture. He died in 1970 at the age of 80, and his library and personal papers are part of the special collections at the University of St. Thomas.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Come with your light and fill up my heart.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and joining me is Corey Regan. And we're talking about being a joyful witness today and letting that light shine. And I just want to say to you, you know, you're driving down the highway, maybe you're sitting in your home, maybe you are in the hospital right now. I just want you to know something, and that is this: Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus loves you, and if you were the only person on earth, he would have died just for you. You're chosen. You're chosen by him to follow him, to become like him. And here's the deal, though. You can't become like him without him. You need to spend that time with him today. So you're going through tough times. You're facing hurdles and decisions in your life. I want to encourage you to take just a few minutes today to spend some time with the Lord and talk to him. Get a Bible. Open it up. Begin to read the Gospels and the life of Christ. But maybe on the way home from work today, if you're facing some big decisions, I would encourage you to stop by a local Catholic church and just spend a few minutes in the presence of the Lord and unburden your heart. Give your cares over to the Lord today. Maybe pray a rosary or ask for the saints to pray for you. That's a good thing to do.
Absolutely.
Especially with, you know, sometimes this time of the year, with the weather and gray skies in the wintertime, sometimes people, they can get a little bit discouraged. You know, I think they call it the seasonal affect.
Blues, yeah. The blues.
Yeah, but I think you can do something about that, and that is if you're struggling with the blues and the gray skies, go and sit before the sun, S-O-N, and I think that'll make a big difference in your life. You know, sometimes I come home a little cranky. A couple times in the last 30 years, I've come home a little cranky, and my wife will say, you know what,
sassy,
honey? She'll say, you need to go up and spend time with the Lord in a holy hour at the church. And I'll say, you need to. And so she'll say, no, you need to. And I end up going up there, and I'll sit up there, and I'll say, Lord, here I am. Not filled with joy at all, you know. And here I am. My wife told me to come up here.
Had to go.
Yeah. And you know what, though? Within
minutes, seconds.
Changes.
Mm-hmm.
My heart changes because I'm in the presence of the Lord. And I'll come back home totally different after being with the Lord in prayer and reading his word. And my wife will say, well, how'd it go? And I'll say, I was all right. It was all right. I don't want to give her the credit.
I don't want to give her the credit. Let her know her advice actually was right there, right on.
It's always right on. Well, we're going to talk about joy. We're continuing to talk about joy today in the Rediscover Hour. And we're going to talk now with Patricia Treese. And Patricia has written a very interesting book called The Joyful Spirit of Padre Pio, Stories, Letters, and Prayers. And many of you are familiar with Padre Pio, probably one of the most popular saints in the world right now, partly due to the fact that he's lived within our lifetime, for some of our listeners at least, and he has become a saint, very, very holy man. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you. I love what you just said about needing to have Christ in us in order to be the light and to find the joy. And not just become cranks.
Right.
Cranks for God. We don't want to be that. Well, you know, you're right about Padre Pio. And for our listeners that don't know who Padre Pio is, can you give us a little bio on who we're talking about and why you chose him to write about?
I've written about Pio in a number of books over the years. And I wasn't attracted to him at first, but editors kept wanting me to do things, so I did, and I've gradually come to understand and love him very much and find him a great, great spiritual guide. Padre Pio, who died at the age of 81 in 1968 in his remote Italian friary, was a Capuchin who lived in Italy, was born into typical poverty in southern Italy, but a wonderful family. His family was called by their neighbors the family for whom God is everything. But that doesn't mean that they were straight-laced and dour. His father, Grazio, who came for long periods to this country in order to make money as a laborer so that his son Pio could become Pio. He was born Francesco and had get the schooling to become a priest. Was known for his joyous spirit and his wonderful sense of humor. And Padre Pio was a person born with a merry-hearted nature. He loved to play practical jokes on other people, and it was in no way dour. At first, because of the phenomena that are connected to him, he was one of the very few people in the history of the church to have had the stigmata.
Explain what the stigmata is for our listeners.
The stigmata are the signs of Christ's crucifixion. That is the wounds in the feet, the wounds in the hand, the wound in the side. Not all saints who have some aspect of this have them all, but Padre Pio was truly a living crucifix, something that humiliated and embarrassed him. I listened with great interest to Randy Haynes' interview, and I forget whether he said or one of you said, the fact that people didn't feel worthy to be in the book showed that they were worthy to be in the book.
Right.
And Padre Pio was not proud of being a living crucifix. He found it mortifying, humiliating, and he did his best to hide this. But unfortunately, it got out, and people came from all over to see the freak, in a sense. And that was a great cross that he bore. But the thing about Padre Pio that makes him so appropriate, I think, as a follow-up to your previous guest, is that Padre Pio is someone who let God transform him so that he became a light, and what he was shone out, not himself, but the light of Christ, in such a way that sometimes people who came really with no particular spiritual interest were converted and changed. Uh-huh. And many people who came with lukewarm spiritual interest were converted to fervent lives just by watching Padre Pio say Mass.
We're not talking about a few people visiting him, are we? We're talking about what could be considered almost a movement of thousands of people wanting to be around this man.
Yes, that gradually happened. Of course, when he first became a Capuchin, nobody knew about him. Everything was his holiness and his openness to Christ was only known by the other friars. But by the end of his life, it sometimes could be like a mob scene. There were local women who would line up very, very early for his Mass and weren't above pushing and shoving and being pretty nasty in order to get in and get their places, which just shows that anything that's beautiful and of God can also be misused.
Now, Patricia, tell me more about, I'm kind of hung up on these stigmata wounds. They were physical wounds, and did people, you know, think that maybe he was faking these? What can you tell me about when they appeared and how all of that was perceived by others?
They appeared to Pio in a mystical experience, somewhat similar to that of St. Francis. While he was in prayer and fell into an ecstasy, he received these wounds.
And he was young?
He was young, and he did his best not to tell anybody and to hide what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
He was a young man. And one of the things that is so interesting to me, because I'm not just a convert. My background is in journalism,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a cynic, and I want the facts.
Right.
I want the accurate facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's so impressive to me that he was studied by various doctors at various times, including doctors who had absolutely no openness to the idea that anything could have a spiritual base.
Right.
And many Catholics were very hard on him and insisted that he was a fraud. And others insisted, well, he wasn't a fraud, but he has a limited neurosis. In just this one area, he can't tell right from wrong, which, of course, is pretty...
How convenient.
Yeah.
So they saw them Pio as someone who would carve himself up, create these wounds, and didn't know that was wrong. Well, anyone who actually becomes close to Padre Pio, as I can now say I am, knows that he was an eminently sane person who always knew right from wrong.
Well, I know I've been around a couple of people who had the stigmata, and it is an extraordinary thing to see.
Yeah,
and I think that
I can't imagine
beyond the physical aspect of it. You got to look at the spiritual aspect there. Now, one of the things that Padre Pio went through, which a lot of people can identify with, particularly during the winter, is what we would call a time of desolation. Or as Mother Teresa spoke about this in her book, that their lives were not always a bowl of cherries. It wasn't just running around with this incredible joy and smile on the face, but there were actually some desolating times or some discouraging times. And that was true also with Padre Pio. Am I right, Patricia?
You're absolutely right, Jeff. Padre Pio was naturally merry-hearted, but because of that particular vocation that he had to be a warrior against sin, a warrior that would drive the devil out of souls, he had, over the years, and then with the burden of the stigmata, he had less and less cause for merriment, humanly speaking. And the fact that he could, like Mother Teresa, on the surface, continue to smile and tell jokes and so on, this wasn't feigned, but it was truly the joy of the Lord that existed on one level, while on another level, he lived in the dark night of the soul for decades and never knew after the early ecstatic period whether he was really pleasing to God or not. He had to carry this burden, very similar to Mother Teresa, and that was part of his work for souls. So his joy is the joy of the Lord, and it's all the more impressive for that, that he could have this kind of joy in the midst of the darkness that he lived in for so long.
Did he ever talk about what he would do in the midst of that darkness to sort of revive himself?
Come out of it.
He did his best to focus not on himself, but to focus on the work that God had called him to, which mm-hmm. was to be a warrior, a spiritual warrior, and to focus on other people, but above all, to focus on Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. A little bit about his childhood, because when you think about a great saint, like John Paul II or Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, Saint Augustine, we know Monica, Saint Athanasius, and so forth. What would you say was the secret sauce in his childhood growing up that contributed to who we know as Padre Pio today?
I think it was having this tremendously wonderful family, and yet I know Padre Pio would want me to point out that not all the children became as holy as their parents, or I could say he wouldn't, their brother. There was one woman who rejected God and lived in sin, had children out of wedlock. And Padre Pio was not able, because this is a matter of our will, he was not able to just get her to do exactly what it would have been edifying if his sister had done. He had another sister who became a nun, but when the great changes came after Vatican II, she was so incensed at what happened in her order that she walked out. And Padre Pio didn't like this idea either. No matter what happened in his order, he wouldn't have walked out. So he had this wonderful family, but I know he would want me to stress that it isn't a case of having to have a wonderful family to become holy.
Uh-huh. You talk about you know that he would want you to express or to say, and that leads me to the question: what about Patricia Treese? Talk to me about your relationship with Padre Pio today.
Today, my relationship with Padre Pio is based on things that he has taught me and millions of others. For instance, that there are times when we are not going to want to accept God's will because we are going through tremendous sufferings. And as Pio says, don't worry that you long to be happy and healthy and have things going well, because we were made for happiness by God, and that's just normal. So long as at the apex of the will, we consent, we want God, we want to go along with his program for us. The fact that we're moaning and groaning and praying for things to be other than they are, that's okay. That's part of our
You don't have to feel guilty for that, because that's normal, right?
That's normal.
Right.
And that's so helpful to know, because we can get this totally false idea about sanctity, that sanctity means that we never have a down moment.
Mm-hmm.
Pio was rebuffed by people when his parents died, first his dad and then his mother. Pio wept and wept, and they said, but, you know, how can you weep? And he said, well, it's not that I don't know they're in heaven. It's not that I don't believe, but I'm human.
I selfishly miss them, yes.
So.
Now, Patricia, do you have any specific stories about Padre Pio that really stand out that you could share with us?
I love the stories about his sense of humor. They again speak to me, because Padre Pio had this tremendous ability to laugh at himself. One story that I love is took place during a very difficult period in Italy, and there were a lot of people around who were anti-church, anti-religion, there one night he found himself praying very late, alone in the choir of the church, and he heard these footsteps going back and forth in the silence of the night in this very remote area. And eventually the footsteps disturbed his prayer, and he got up and he looked out the window, and he saw this very sinister looking figure in a cape with something in his hand that might have been a bomb or a grenade. And during this time of great political unrest, when he was telling the friars about it later, he made fun of himself, because there were all these people who would say to Padre Pio, "Oh, Padre Pio, my mom had cancer, but I put your picture on her chest and it went away. Oh, Padre Pio, my child was very ill, but I went to the hospital with your picture, and I placed it on my little boy, and he was immediately better." So Padre Pio, when he was telling the friars about the sinister figure, said, "Oh, boy, at first I was really scared that he would throw that bomb at me. But then I said to myself, oh, don't worry, I think I've got a picture of Padre Pio."
That's funny. That's a cute story. That's a cute story.
Yeah, it is cute.
You know, when we talk about our relationship with the saints, by the way, we're talking with Patricia Treese, and she's written a great book on Padre Pio called The Joyful Spirit of Padre Pio, Stories, Letters, and Prayers. Patricia, when we talk about the saints, let's clarify something, because we may have people listening that don't quite understand what is, as Catholics, what is our relationship to the saints. Some people would say that that we worship them, which the church doesn't teach that, obviously. But if a novice were coming up to Patricia Treese and saying, "Patricia, I'm interested in Padre Pio, but how do I interact with him? And what, you know, what are the boundaries, and what is an appropriate relationship with a saint?" What would you say?
Do we have an hour?
No, we don't. But go for it.
I'll try to make it quick. I would say that in the very beginning of Christianity, there are many places in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul says, "The imitators of me as I am of Christ." And there were many people who tried to imitate Paul, and then people tried to imitate them, and it's gone on all the way down, that there are people who follow Christ so beautifully that we can look to them and see, is this person a match for maybe my life? Do I see something in them that I might try to imitate in order that I may come closer to Christ? And the church investigates to make sure, has for some centuries, that we don't get false saints, because there are people out there, and one way you know them is that they want us to think how great they are, and they can be false guides. But the church holds up certain people and says, "We have investigated these people stem to stern, and they are true, reliable role models, not for everybody. Each one of them isn't for everybody, but might be a reliable role model for some people. And they are also reliable prayer intercessors." And so we may look at the various saints. Obviously, we are not going to confuse them with Jesus Christ. None of them are Jesus. They are trying to serve and love Jesus just as we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we might consider them like a big brother or big sister in the faith.
But we don't worship them, do we? It's veneration. There's a great respect as an older brother or sister.
Exactly, exactly. We worship God. We honor those people who have really given their lives, whether through actually giving their lives in martyrdom. Mm-hmm. That's one way of sainthood, refusing to renounce Christ when it's the question is put to you on the life and death matter, or living your life as Pio did, completely for Christ. Pio gave up everything in order that he might have Christ.
But that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. I think that deep down inside in our lives, we want to be that focused. Patricia, we have about 2 minutes left. What are the needs that people typically go to Padre Pio for and ask for intercession? I'm thinking about all of our listeners who have particular needs and a crisis in their life. What are some of the typical things? In 2 minutes, tell us, what are some of the typical things that people go to Padre Pio about?
People go to Padre Pio in their poverty, when they need jobs or they have a specific need. I've written in here about a woman who needed a car. People go to Padre Pio in great illness, or in smaller illness because they have to get up and go to work. Padre Pio, coming from an ordinary background of immigrant worker, a housewife, mother, People in his village who were farmers. Padre Pio is very open to ordinary people, and yet one of the women who became a great devotee during his lifetime was a very wealthy aristocrat. So if you feel drawn to Padre Pio, I would say that's the test. The Holy Spirit will point you toward the person, the saint, and then you can just talk to them. Or you can try to find out where is their shrine and maybe send a request there. But it's always fine just to talk to them the way you talk to the Lord.
They're alive. They're alive. That's good. Well, see, it's been so good talking to you. Very, very interesting, very insightful, and very practical for our listeners to be introduced to Padre Pio in such a way that you can talk to him about the cares in your life and ask him to intercede for you and pray for you. And what a great role model, as you mentioned. And, you know, we're in a day and age right now, and St. John Paul II said it, we need more saints than ever because we need more role models than ever. So I think, Corey, this is a saint we can introduce to our kids.
Absolutely. I'm going to go check out the book and learn more about him and teach that, you know, to my children.
That's The Joyful Spirit of Padre Pio by Patricia Treese. Patricia, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Corey. It was a joy and an honor to be on your show.
Merry Christmas.
We're going to come back in just a moment on the Rediscover Hour. We've got some big announcements in the Twin Cities that you will not want to miss. This is the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy efficient lighting? You wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
It's Paul here with a look at some of the things going on around the Twin Cities. The Franciscan Brothers of Peace are requesting food donations to provide meals for 600 families this Christmas. They have a particular need for fresh fruit, dessert pies, and non-perishable food items. Donations can be dropped off at Queen of Peace Friary,
1289 LaFond Avenue in St. Paul, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 and 6 to 9 p.m., or Sunday, noon to 5. Christmas food drive runs through December 22nd. More information at brothersofpeace.org or call 651-646-8586. That's 651-646-8586.
And the Church of St. Agnes is hosting a three-part lecture series in honor of the 2015 Year of Consecrated Life. And the first will be held Sunday, December 14th at 1:30 in Schuller Hall by Father Cassian Folsom. And he will speak on the Evangelical Council of Chastity and will also lead Vespers at 3 p.m. For more information, visit the Archdiocesan website at archspm.org.
And if you like to sing, there will be a Messiah sing-along with the Minnesota Chorale at St. Olaf Church, Sunday, December 14th, 6:30 p.m. Come to sing, just to listen. No admission charge, but a free will offering will be taken. St. Olaf is at 215 South 8th Street in Minneapolis. Learn more at saintolaf.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, Olaf.
And the Church of the Holy Childhood in St. Paul invites you to the Christmas Eve Orchestra Mass with the Schola Cantorum Wednesday night, December 24th at 10 p.m. Celebrate Christmas with Mozart's Mass of the Nativity of the Lord. The choir will be accompanied by strings, oboe, and organ. The church is located at 1435 Midway Parkway in St. Paul, and more details online at holychildhoodparish.org.
And a reminder, the Church of St. Mark in St. Paul invites you to celebrate the 125th anniversary of the first Mass in the original church, Sunday, December 14th, 11 a.m. They'll welcome Bishop Lee Pache, St. Mark's former associate pastor, as main celebrant. St. Mark's is at 2001 Dayton Avenue in St. Paul. Jeff, what's coming up?
On the next Rediscover Hour, we're talking with Mary Healy about studying the Bible. She was recently appointed to the Pontifical Biblical Commission. She'll be joined by Sarah Chrismeyer talking about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. It's going to be an exciting episode, Women in the Bible.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.